Okay, so let's do roll call.
Okay. All right, Chairman Neubecker?
Present.
Mr. Graham?
Present.
Mr. Brangle?
Present.
Ms. Slepica?
Present.
Mr. Brown?
Present.
All right, Mr. Preston? Not here, and Ms. Holt is not here.
And who do we have as guests?
Sure.
Hey, Lee, it's Bob O'Connell.
Hi, Bob.
Am I a guest or a stalker? I'm Katie Lowe's, listening in. Nice to meet you all.
I think I saw Jan Seeger on there somewhere. Jan, are you on? Okay.
Okay, you've got your quorum. We can go ahead and get started when you're ready.
Okay, Lisa, are there any requested public comment items?
There are none.
Okay.
Andy Holt is joining us here just as we speak.
Okay. Then everyone received the minutes. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
I moved as presented. Oh, well, I'll wait to see if there's any issues.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Okay, it passes. Okay, next item. Got updates on various projects. I know with regard to the Lake and Lathrop, there's going to be a presentation by the developer at the next full township meeting. So if anyone's wanting to hear that, we'll get to hear from the developer the status at the next meeting, which is on what is that date? The 12th, is it?
Yeah. So Monday night, we're gonna staff will lead off the presentation, and we're just gonna give the board a quick update on the status of the Lake and Lathrop project.
Then the new senior memory residence. It looks pretty close to being ready for opening. Do we have a date on when that's going to officially take its first residence?
Sure. So in terms of residents moving in, I'm not confident what date that is. I know it's happening in April. So we are moving towards issuing them a final certificate of occupancy. We've already issued them a temporary CO so that they could get in with their staff and start training and preparing for their soft opening. And so I know they're still in the process of doing that. They've got a ribbon cutting ceremony scheduled on the morning of April 28th. And so they are rocking and rolling and looking for a final CO here within the next week or two.
And with regard to Lake and Park, I learned recently, at least, that Mr. Strand's wife passed away, and Mr. Strand right now is in the hospital. So we all, send our condolences and hopes for his speedy recovery. So there won't be any update at this meeting with what's going on there. We'll defer that till after, hopefully, he's doing better and out of the hospital. With regard to Madison Street, Lisa, do we have any update from Speaker Welch on the funding that we were hoping for demo?
Sure. So just to give the EDC a quick update, we had a call with Speaker Welch's office and the gentleman in his office named Mike Jarmer, who's in charge of grant funding, essentially. We had a call with him on the 31st, and he informed us that they would be releasing the funds and taking the steps that need to be taken in order to do that. So I have a contact with the CEO that I have been in touch with. They have not gotten word from the speaker's office yet that the funds are released, but as soon as they are, I will be working with the DCEO on that process. So I've got another message in to Mr. Jarmer this morning to see if I can get an update before the close of our meeting this morning on what steps they're taking and when we can anticipate the DCEO getting those instructions to work with me. So if I don't have an update by the end of the meeting, I can certainly send one out to the EDC today via email so that you all have that information.
Great. And then with regard to when we receive those funds, we probably all need to think about, you know, what path we're going. At one time, Mike Murray had expressed some interest in doing some development there. But I think if I recall correctly, we thought it might make sense to try to get multiple proposals for that space. But with regard to the demo funds, when the demo funds become available, what's everyone's thought? Should we, if we don't have anything on the table executable with Mr. Murray, should we proceed with the demo as soon as possible so that lot's cleared, or should we?
Yeah, so my understanding too, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but in the transition from Eric's departure to me, there was an expression of interest that had been prepared that we were going to review with the residents down in that area to get their input before we hit the street with that, to see what the interest level is in the development community. So I'm looking for your direction on this item and if that's the path we still want to go down.
It seems to me that, you know, sharing that with the commission and all of us, you know, deciding what we want to do for next steps by the next meeting would make sense, because if those funds come, you know, ideally, if we're going to demo it, ideally we do it, you know, sooner than later so that we have the open space. So is the expression of interest, is that a document that is in a form that you can circulate with the EDC?
Yeah, so my understanding is Eric drafted that. I think Tim Brangle had some really great feedback for him. And so I will recirculate that with Mr. Brangle's changes incorporated back to the EDC today.
Okay, and so, you know, at next meeting, we probably will need to, you know, decide what we're doing in terms of, you know, putting that out there or whatnot. Any other thoughts or discussion? And thank you, Tim, for your work on that.
Yeah, sure. Eric had prepared. I think that was the thought, that we had a proposal. We didn't want to disregard it, and we wanted to at least entertain to see what's available out there, see if there's interest in other proposals, either, you know, renovation or reuse of the whole site. And I think that was just kind of putting some feelers out. I haven't seen it since. I know it's, I think it's still in draft form, but yeah, that'd be good to take a peek and then get everybody's input and then figure out the best way to float it. In the meanwhile, I think, you know, getting the funds in place would be great. But I think it'd be good to see if there's other thoughts. I think we wanted to go through a little bit of a process just to make sure we have our, you know, have some input from the community, the development community, to help inform our next steps. So,
what's that, Liz?
I was going to say, are there any time constraints to use the money, like within the fiscal year or calendar year or anything like that?
I don't think we're on that tight of a timeline. That's something we're going to get a little bit more information on. There's an IGA that I understand Forest Park needed to enter into when their funding was released. So I'll have some more information when I have that IGA.
And another question, Lisa, is there a requirement that we demo those buildings to use those funds? Because that was original purpose of it. And if we were to go with Mr. Murray's proposal, would that somehow, could we shift that funds for some other development process?
So it was released for the demolition of certain buildings. And so whether we're talking about scraping the site and starting over or doing something a little bit more surgical, yeah, those funds do need to be used for demolition.
Cool. Great.
The whole purpose of avoiding an RFP because of other properties to the east were in question, and going informally was the easiest or softest way to look at the whole project?
Go ahead.
Well, I would be in favor of demolition at the earliest reasonable time, as long as we get the funds, obviously. And it might expedite some of the property to the east in terms of trying to figure out what is really available or the total development of that area.
That's a good point, Mr. Graham. How do other people feel about that? Because as of right now, we haven't had any concrete proposal that's ready from Mr. Murray to redevelop that. And I think his plan was to, you know, do a building at a time, you know, slowly. Whereas if we demo the buildings we have right now, we at least have a usable lot that could be used for anything from having food truck events with restaurants featured to farmers market or even parking in the short term. And
just to clarify something. So Mr. Murray's presentation to the Village Board of Trustees heard, and the Village Board of Direction staff was to entertain additional to see what other options are out. So I think I think Mr. Murray stopped where he said at that point, knowing that there was going to be another process coming forward. So I just want to clarify that Mr. Murray's actions are based on the village, not necessarily a lack of interest in the property.
So other people's thoughts on Mr. Graham's suggestion that we move quickly to demo the buildings with the funds. How do other commissioners feel about that?
Yeah, I agree. If we have the funds, I can't remember if they're income producing properties, but even if so, it's somewhat nominal, I'd assume. They're not, right? Yeah, so.
No.
I mean, yeah, I wouldn't see why we wouldn't just go ahead and get that taken care of. It might draw some interest, and at any rate, I don't see much of a reason to hold off. I can't think of a reason not to do it. The funds are available now. It also shows to any possible developer a true interest on behalf of the community. Easier to envision as well.
Yeah, I think the stated preference was demo. Moving forward, the proposal came in, which was kind of an unsolicited proposal, which I believe was pretty thin. And I think part of this was to either understand that better and open it up. And again, with the attitude that demo is most likely going to occur, or at least a stated preference to move and clear the site, that we're also putting out there exactly what you said. I think is hey, let the development community know this is coming, and to see. I think it's to kind of float it, build little, interest and awareness of what's coming.
Yeah, and I can't remember the details of the proposal. You know, I know we talked a little bit about it, but I don't like any patch and repair sort of surgical idea for that space. You know, if we're going to do something, we should probably really do something new there. Or, you know, I think that'll end up looking a little bit, I don't know, cheap for lack of a better word. That's just my opinion.
Thank you. Slepica, yeah, any?
This was not intended to be an RFP, Bob. So I agree with you. I mean, we're not going to go through a whole process. This was to kind of float this, and I think also try to determine if there's a real proposal there, or at least a real concept. But I think the stated preference again is moving forward with redevelopment of the site.
Cool.
So we need an answer from Welsh. Where's the money?
That's, you right. know, we're close to, we're close to that. Hopefully we'll have the funds in possibly a month or two, but we don't have any firm commitment as of yet. But I've been calling Mr. Speaker Welch, Lisa, Kathy Aducey also has been outreaching. So hopefully we'll have an answer soon and be able to start that process. So is there any other comments or discussion on this, or a desire to put a recommendation out there in terms of to proceed immediately with using the funds once available for demo?
I mean, I'd recommend that if that's a votable thing that we're, is that what you're asking for some sort of
referendum? If we want to put a recommendation to the board that we proceed with demo as soon as receiving the funds of demoing the properties. I mean, ultimately the village trustees will need to decide on that. So we can table this for now until we have a more definitive response from Speaker Welch.
But yeah, I think until we know where the money is, a proposal is not beneficial in the short run. In other words, okay, Let's have the money, then we say this is the way we want to proceed.
Okay.
Up or down.
That makes sense. Does everyone agree with that? We can defer.
Yeah, works for me.
Okay. Very good. Any other updates on any projects going on, Lisa?
No, that's it at this point.
Okay, one of the things that we wanted to do, we've received funding to help with COVID recovery for the village. Some of those funds are going to need to go to address some of the extra expenses the village incurred and plug some holes. But there's also a desire to have some of the funds go to actually help the businesses. And so what we wanted to discuss today are our ideas for how we can support our business community to help, you know, the local economy prosper. So if anyone has any thoughts or ideas, please feel free to share.
How much money were you talking about?
I believe it was it 1.2 million, Lisa?
So the village is being granted 1.34 million through the American
Rescue. Okay,
so, right, and Lee's right. There's a variety of ways that we're permitted to use that money. Making up cost revenue is one of them. Covering expenses is another. But as Newbecker noted, there's definitely a desire to peel off a substantial piece of this to develop some program.
I think we have some background noise here.
Yeah. Would the person who's dialed in with the phone number 630-541-2384 please mute their call? Or Lisa, if you're able to mute, sounds like they muted. Thank you.
Of course, it's after they execute that turn they were making.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, that is familiar.
That's Trustee O'Connell.
Always a troublemaker.
Yeah. So, okay. So where were we? We were talking about ideas for helping the businesses. Ms. Holt, do you have any, have you been hearing from your businesses in terms of things that they're challenged with and any particular needs that they have for being able to keep themselves above water?
Yeah, I think in general, businesses who are struggling, or even those who aren't necessarily struggling, are concerned about consumer confidence, getting people back out. You know, you do have those diehard people who are ready to go out and shop and eat, but you've got a big chunk of the population that still doesn't feel comfortable to do that. So how do we encourage people back out on the streets, back out, leaving their homes, basically? And the second one is just understanding what's coming next. So if people aren't doing well, or even if they are doing well, they don't necessarily know why. And if they are doing well, they don't necessarily know what to keep doing in order to keep doing well. Do you know what I mean? So I think it's that kind of knowing that there's support in case things dip down or they, you know, open up a little bit more. There's still generally confusion, but I think that's the same for any person in the U.S. right now. You know, why is this state doing it and this state's not? And, you know, that kind of thing. But yeah, I would say generally it's consumer confidence, getting people back out and just knowing that there's support there in case things change again, and then understanding what that means.
Go ahead.
Well, Mr. Brown. Thanks. I was going to say it's an interesting. You know, obviously we're the Economic Development Commission, so our purpose is to help drive the economy for River Forest. But at this point, it's sort of a multifaceted purpose that I see these funds perhaps being used for, because it's not just the economy. There's other things that are going on with people right now, certainly, and just their ability to leave the house, you know, and we don't have that, you know. So initially I'm thinking, boy, why don't we take Keystone Park, open it up, you know, have some sort of food truck fair, you know, place where retail comes, but we don't really have a ton of that retail or food truck needs or things like that. But it would be nice to maybe do it in conjunction with perhaps, you know, see what the trustees say, but in conjunction with some other groups too, because it would be nice to find a way to spend some money as a community to get people outdoors and congregating again. You know, I've been doing it recently. Heck, I mean, you know, just with baseball and with the nice weather, and it's the smile on people's faces to see other people. It's well worth whatever we could possibly spend. So I don't know exactly if it's an EDC sort of decision to be made, but somehow if we could find some way to fund some event where, you know, it's going to be springtime, people are going to be coming out, we're going to have a herd vaccination, you know, community at some point, you know, they say maybe in June. It'd be great if we could really start seeing some neighbors again, because, and I don't want to get too far off the track here, this has been a pretty divided little community of ours recently, unfortunately, with the everything that's gone on. And I think that whatever we could do to change that, whether or not necessarily be the EDC's position, we should try to do. So I don't necessarily have a proposal, but I'm thinking along those names. So that's my input.
I think you're right. I think it's sort of, I see three buckets, right? So the 1.34 or whatever it is, million likely to go partially to the village. And I think, as you said, for lost revenue, expenses incurred through this, it ought to go in some form to businesses. And that's small, that's, you know, retail, restaurant, even other professional businesses. And then you're hitting on sort of residents, and it all comes together. So it's the third bucket, really, is residents are the things that we can do to bolster confidence, as you said, both you, Liz, and Kyler, you know, the idea of how do we encourage people to come back out and feel safe. So I kind of like that. I don't know what proportional share goes to what, but I kind of see it as those three buckets. And then within that, I think there's likely three more buckets in each category. Really, it's one is on, in my mind, sort of this near-term stabilization. There's been a lot of programs, the PPPs and others out there that have, for business in particular, whether it's all about job retention and holding on as long as you can and some funds to do that to then at least get through this. And I still think there's likely more of that that's needed. I've been working in Springfield, Massachusetts on a whole economic development plan, and they've got a number of programs, one called Prime the Pump. And we talked a little bit about this offline, Lisa and I, but you know, where it's small business grants, 5,000, 6,000, 8,000. And they put a whole criteria together, a little grant program, people filed, and I forget, they've put in place a substantial amount of money to help these businesses. And it can be used towards a number of different things. Obviously, most of it's on job retention or even job growth. So I think there's, in the first tier of all this, is sort of, okay, how do we continue to stabilize? And then I think there's recovery in my mind, which is, again, sort of, all right, how do we now brush ourselves off and continue to almost near-term correct recovery. And then I think longer term is future growth. And part of that is something I do think there's an opportunity not to just look in the rear view mirror, but to say, all right, how do we leverage this and move forward from this and reposition our businesses in a COVID and post-COVID environment? It's kind of broad brush, but those are that's a lot of how communities are dealing with this, I think. So there's a whole range of uses of funds across that, that I think is something that we could kind of explore. I do like, in particular, I like the idea of, all right, there's been a lot of, I should say, stabilization already, I think, but I still think people are hurting. But I'd like to have a forward thinking way of, all right, and that's sort of these ideas that you're starting to put forth, the idea of how do we bring people back out, build the consumer confidence, bolster our businesses, and grow our businesses. So I think we ought to be forward thinking with it as well. So that's very broad brush, but that's kind of my initial thoughts.
Tim, okay. I love the idea. No, really, I love the idea.
Forest is a...
Go ahead, Tim. Tim, are you finished? Okay, Mr. Brown.
I'll let Bob go, but I'll just say real quick, I love everything you said. I just know being a part of many grant committees, that's a pretty big process there that takes a while to put together.
Yep.
So it's just,
yep,
that's all I'd add to that.
Mr. Graham?
You know, River Forest is a relatively small community. Can't the village reach out to our businesses and say, you know, we have X amount of funds that are coming in that are to be utilized. And one of the ways that we want to utilize these funds are to see that your business, which is vital to our community for long-term growth, that if you have certain requests, please let us know. If we ask people, not everyone's going to say, I want money. I mean, everybody wants money, but a lot of people would say, I can do my own thing, but let's see who is really looking for some help. I mean, yeah, when I look around, I see in Town Center only one open property. I don't see a lot of empty stores or bad, you know, closed locations. So I don't know how the restaurants, how they're doing or not doing. In other words, why don't we say we have a certain amount of money that we would like to put back into the community to see that your businesses remain healthy and viable for your own personal use and for the community in general. Why not reach out to the people right away? I mean, it's not like we have 5,000 community businesses in the area. I mean, it's relatively small in total number. Please correct me if I'm wrong on this. Anybody? Is it that tough for the village to reach out to local business?
Yeah, I think it's a great idea, Mr. Graham. Do you think we need to get a handle on how much money we're talking and what we have? And that's something that I think Lisa and Kathy and I will have to work through before, you know, we don't want to go out to people, get people's expectations risen high and then not be able to deliver. But, you know, something like doing a grant pool for improving storefront facades, for instance, of a certain amount of dollars or something like that might help the businesses get more people in and also beautify our community. So, you know, there's some things like that, but businesses may have other needs. So I think, you know, between now and the next meeting, it would be good for everyone to talk to businesses and ask. And, you know, Liz, you know, maybe you can even survey all of, you know, what do your members really need right now? What things would help them to do better and share some of that information with us? And then hopefully when we have a better idea of what we're looking at in terms of funds and ideas on the table, we can, you know, figure out how do we best allocate these funds.
Yeah, I mean, I think the grant, something like a grant program, definitely, Kyler, your comment, like those sorts of things take a long time, take time to get up and running and administer. But to be really crass, it's a drop in the bucket. I mean, you're never going to give anybody enough money if they need a grant and they're really struggling. You guys are going to divide and, you know, divide all of this money. It might be a $5,000 grant. Sometimes $5,000 is, you know, good money after bad, and it's very crass. But, you know, if it's maybe not that bad, a good of a decision. That's my only opinion. But I do think doing things to get people active and is a little bit more of a sustainable way to go. So, for example, I know that I've been working with John and Lisa to be getting out some of the information that the chamber is doing. So we're hosting a lunch at Good Earth Cafe in a couple of weeks. This is a chamber program twice a month. We go to one of our restaurants or food facilities, and it's just a takeout. And you come at 12 o'clock, you mingle for half an hour, you pick up your takeaway and you go home. So it's not a long exercise and we're always outside. That event regularly brings in about $800 to $1,000 into that business in one half an hour. And there's generally 50 to 60 people there. So that's just within the business community. So that kind of thing, and you know, we do that as a benefit to that business because they're a member of our chamber. So, you know, we're gonna go and see Regan, she's gonna make $1,000 and she's smart because she's also gonna give a discount to everybody coming to shop while they're there. She's going to give them a coupon to say, come back to my restaurant, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, that's what we encourage all of our businesses to do. We've got plans. We're trying to figure out how to make the money work on how to do a similar sort of thing for retailers so that we can just start to get people out there. The key then is to go and say, I don't know, let's say if it was Donna at River Forest Chocolates, and I know Donna, you're on this call, you know, if we're going to do that, then you would talk to the businesses on either side of Donna or in that whole area. And say, you know, if it's the dentist there or the dry cleaner, you know, like, come on out and peddle your wares, come and meet people. Give free consultation card for every person who gets a lunch or gets a pickup or, you know, that kind of thing. I do think that's a more sustainable way to get people in the mindset of coming out and seeing their community again after so long. I would encourage us all to really be mindful of what's going on North Avenue. There's just a lot of businesses up there that many, many people don't even know are there. Even Yoke, you know, Yoke just joined the chamber. They joined because they can't figure out why more River Forest people don't know they're there. They know from their statistics, River Forest people go to Yoke in the city. And now there's one right on their doorstep and they don't understand why no one comes. So that's the kind of thing I think that if we're really creative with some of that money, we can get the people in River Forest to start coming out and shopping and eating and whatever within their own village.
That's a great comment, Liz. And if anyone doesn't know the story, Yoke, Grandma Sally's sold the restaurant in her family. It's the same family. Some of the same staff are still there.
Yeah.
But they've rebranded, invested in the storefront. And, you know, perhaps we could even ask Flamingo Friday if they do an event in the parking lot, because they're only open till 2:30. And if we brought Flamingo Friday up into their parking lot, that might help some of those businesses up there and create some awareness for them to get the word out.
I agree with Liz. I still struggle with people in this town not knowing the businesses that we have in this town. At Easter, I had a lady, I've been open 10 years. She lives in River Forest. She's never even known I was there. And I don't think that's unusual. So if we could do maybe a directory or something so people know all of the businesses in our town, not just retail, dentists, doctors, lawyers, home-based, everything. Yeah. Something to get the word out.
And Donna, to your point, we are seeing a lot of home-based businesses. I've had two from River Forest join our chamber recently, simply because when you're a home-based business, you don't have any connections, you have no people. And that's exactly what we are here to be able to do and support. And so to be able to offer an opportunity for home-based businesses to be able to get in on that, get in on any kinds of those events. Like I said, we've been trying to look at how we can support retailers in a similar kind of way. And we've got an idea for, it's something called a cash mob, which is you just get 30 shoppers who all decide they're going to shop at one place, you know, within, ideally pre-COVID, it's like within an hour, 30 shoppers come in an hour and, you know, they just spend and, you know, you can use coupons and that kind of stuff. Now COVID, it's going to have to be different. But, you know, those are the kinds of programs that I think are going to get people to come out and, you know, and using, Donna, you're going to know, using those mom groups, you know, it's very powerful, powerful marketing, and you give somebody a free coupon. You know, these are sustainable ways to get people to come out and keep coming back and also put their money where their mouth is.
I want to thank Katie, who just sent everyone a link. There's an excellent guide that profiles all the businesses in River Forest. There's more than 50 of them, many of them services. And, you know, perhaps we can use some of those funding, some of the funding to support getting a writer of some sort to go out and write business profiles and capture content and include that content in the village's email blast, where we could feature one business within a blast. I don't know if that's something, if Lisa, if you have that talent on staff already to do profiles, or if that's something that we'd need to you know, get some resources to get a contract writer, interviewer person to go out and, you know, talk to the businesses, capture some video, write some content, and then put it in the blast. But something like that might be an easy way to support those businesses.
So just so the EDC is aware, when we do our weekly e-newsletters, we have been featuring a business each time. So it's either one or two businesses, and they're featured in every one of the village's weekly e-newsletters, and then also in our monthly newsletter. And we've also been posting at least one social media post a week highlighting a local business. So that has been, we've generated a lot of interest. We've also generated a lot of information about the businesses that are in our community, particularly those home-based businesses, through that program, because they've seen that email going out and have asked to be a part of it. So that has been, I think, informative for the residents, but it's also been informative for the business community to let them know that this resource is available. In terms of generating content and information, that's something we would need assistance with. But the village has been working with a communications consultant just to help kind of pick up some of the work that we've shifted around with since Eric left. So that communications consultant has helped us make some pretty significant strides in our communications program. And I think they have some resources that can help. And so we could tap into that potentially and look at them as a potential partner to help us generate this. Because what I'm kind of hearing this going in the direction of is some sort of, not business directory, but some, for lack of a better term, some sort of local business directory, some sort of local business awareness campaign, you know, a really robust support local program.
I agree with that. I like that.
Go ahead. Mr. Brown.
I was just going to say, having something in place might drive future retailers as well.
Yeah. One of the things I wanted to bounce off everyone is the idea of us putting together kind of a branding campaign, the brand River Forest, to tell the unique story of why it's great to open a business in River Forest, shop in River Forest, raise a family, retire, invest and so on, or learn and go to school. We've got universities here. During COVID, when many CPS parents had to remote e-learn, you know, Willard was open and the middle school was open. And those are unique things that, you know, right now there are a lot of people that are concerned about the state of education that thought that they could raise their family in East Lakeview or other neighborhoods that are looking at, you know, where to go next. People are moving out to the burbs, and we're unique in that we're close. We still have public transit nearby. You can walk to the CTA, get downtown, and telling the story about River Forest in a narrative way where we feature the best of River Forest, everything from our rivers, our trails, our animal habitat, the architecture, the rich stories that extend beyond the history of River Forest that sometimes is labeled as being mafiosa. There's a lot more to River Forest, and many people don't know that. And if we look at trying to create a campaign to generate social media content in the form of video that tells a story, that targets different segments, and there are many different segments in investing and trying to understand who are our targets, what are the different profiles, and then how do we generate a series of content that can be used by even realtors that are trying to sell homes or lease commercial businesses to tell that story. Because right now so much is done on social media. And if we generate the content that tells the story of River Forest, you know, without having to spend a lot of money, that content can be shared around and potentially could help us attract residents, shoppers, investors, entrepreneurs. So I wanted to put that out there just to get people's thoughts on that, you know, taking what we did with Shop River Forest, we've got you covered, but extending beyond that, to not only profile businesses, but tell why, you know, how did businesses feel when we did the mask campaign and put that out there? You know, we've got Jackie from La Pararita. We put media content out there in Cinco de Mayo, and she sold out of food by, I think Lisa was in line. It was a complete sellout. So telling that story is something that makes us unique. And right now we've got a lot of commercial real estate about to come online that needs tenants. So if we generate a series of narratives, we might be able to attract investors, businesses, entrepreneurs to fill those shops. And I think social media and video is a really good way to target that.
Lee, I think that's a great idea. I guess getting back to what Tim said in terms of his multiple buckets, and Tim, you're clearly a splitter, not a lumper. But I love it that you really talked about immediate stabilization, recovery, and future growth. I think the program that you're talking about is really a bit more of a longer term future growth kind of thing. But I would love to see some kind of creative thinking with this money to say, because programs like that, I mean, for anybody who knows that what's happened in Berwyn over the last 10 years with their big promotion of the village, is it takes a long time for that slow drip kind of promotion to work in terms of getting people into stores, getting people into Donna's Place and knowing it and buying chocolate. So I would love to see that money kind of ameliorated across, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years. So knowing that, you know, it's sustainable, because one big push and then the money goes away and then it disappears, it's not going to have the impact you want. But then your example about La Paralita, that is much more about that immediate stabilization and the kind of things that the chamber is doing that I was talking about before, which is Cinco de Mayo, what are the businesses that could benefit from that? And then you push out immediate marketing. And my opinion, for many of the businesses, that's what we need immediately. But also I think there needs to be some longer term vision. And Lee, I think you're spot on for that.
Yeah, I agree. I think and that's sort of the notion of the future growth and repositioning River Forest. I think that's something that has to be done. And I think you're exactly right. It's all about storytelling in a way. It's a lot of what we all do, right? And I think, how do you put that package together? I think it's a great idea, and it crosses all things. It hits all residents, it hits everything. And I think it also goes to future growth and how we attract new businesses and developers and investment if we have that story. And I think it's a really good idea that crosses all of these categories, so.
I totally agree. I the one thing I would add is we probably leave that to a professional and use some of the funds to actually hire someone. I mean, there's people in our community that do this. I mean, I'm just thinking of John Harris does it for different communities, Oak Park resident. You know, there's a ton of people. He'd actually be a good one to kind of see. He's such a great guy, just to kind of kick it off with him to see what his thoughts are, even if we don't use his company. But that's a great idea. As you said, hits a lot of different buckets as well. All Tim's buckets get hit.
Yeah.
So, you know, happy.
But I think part of this too goes to, you know, it goes beyond just our community too. I think we got to figure out the reach. Yeah. And I don't like to be in silos. I don't think, and we kind of always, it's River Forest and Oak Park's over there and everybody, you know, and we're always competing. We're not competing. We leverage each other. And I think that's really important how we ought to be part of that whole Oak Park thing too. Everything's going on over there. What's the program, Liz? Take 25 or whatever.
Yeah. So that's like a real grassroots community. Yeah. It's called Takeout 25.
Yeah. Been great. I get all those notices. I'm like, I got to go to all those places and the food. I mean, it's actually been pretty, and I don't know why we're on, I think River Force is part of it, but again, it's sort of a us and them. Yeah. I'd like to see that change a little bit. But I think I go beyond that.
I'd love to see the chamber as part of that. We are one of the few organizations who can legitimately cross bounds without having to ask anyone, strike a committee, you know, change legislation, any of it.
So,
you can see the title now, River Forest, all the benefits of Oak Park without all the Oak Parkness.
There you go.
But you know, that's up. I think a great example might be, you know, I know that we're courting the, what is the Chicago restaurant group who has come out and done, you know, the pickup events. So look, yeah. I'm glad, I think it was Eric who told me that you were courting them, because from an optics point of view, it's very distasteful when you've got your own businesses who are not being promoted and you've got the big smoke who's coming in and kind of creaming off the top. So, I mean, I would love if we could partner and we could do an event like that, but let's feature the businesses in the community. Let's do a meal pickup thing and it features four or five of the restaurants, you know, remembering the chamber's built for this. This is what we're built to do. And so partnering with us, it's not like, you know, Lisa, you're now going to be coordinating with restaurants and schlepping food and takeout containers. You know, that's not what you should be doing. We should tap into what each of our expertise are. But, you know, to do a program like that and get the village people who live there committed to supporting those businesses. You come on out, you pick up your bag of takeaway food and it's supporting all of these businesses. They're going to taste food from La Perlita that they've never tasted before. And then they're going to go back. And again, I'm really all about the sustainability. You know, people are, now we're looking at longer term. They're going to keep going back. Same with Donna. They're going to be like, what is this chocolate and where the hell did it come from? Oh, it's literally around the corner from my house. And I think those sorts of things are great, and they could very well kickstart a bit more, to Tim's point, a grassroots within River Forest.
Yeah, good point.
Hey, Lee, whatever happened, remember the gentleman that came and it was part of the whole, it was a marketing piece and we agreed to, was it $5,000 put towards something? And we were all part of Berwyn and...
Riverside. Yeah, tourism convention.
Oh, Eric Wagner from Visit Oak Park?
I don't remember who it was, to be honest, but...
That sounds right.
Visit Oak Park, yeah.
You know, but again, even going broader than our two communities is, you know, how do we get a broader outreach?
Yeah.
And I don't know if that ever materialized or whether we're on some platform there, but again, this whole marketing piece and pitch could all be part of that.
Yeah. It seems... Tim, it seems to me what we need to do is, yeah. Hello, is that Bob?
Can I chime in for a couple of comments?
Sure.
So first off, on the consumer confidence thing, I'm driving in a rainstorm in Wisconsin. I was on a conference call yesterday. Our company, we're tracking 70 million mobile users a day for consumer confidence. And we're finding more and more people are coming out on a daily basis, obviously, as, you know, as vaccines get out there and people feel more comfortable. So, you know, light at the end of the tunnel thing is probably more real than some people may want to think. I like Tim's comment about kind of taking this in a three-step approach. Again, with the caveat of understanding what money we could use for what, is, are there some short-term hits Are there some medium term, and then are some long term? And I think that's the way we need to think about it, to, you know, for, again, from to quote Liz, the sustainability piece of it. And then just the last comment I have, and you know, somebody, I think we're getting to an appropriate time where, you know, Mid-America Real Estate represents both Sedgwick Properties at Lake and Lathrop, and they represent Harlem and Lake. You know, to engage them in a conversation to find out what kind of marketing plans they have for those buildings, I think would be very important to understand. So just a couple of comments.
I think that's a great point, Bob. And Lisa and I spoke about this too. It might make sense that we do some outreach to different target markets. We've got, you know, we've got retail businesses, we have service businesses, we have developers, we have real estate agents and brokers that move the properties. And there's probably some other categories in there of stakeholders that it might make sense for us to, you know, set up a Zoom conference, invite people in to hear what their thoughts are and what their needs are, and get their buy-in. Because if we give everyone a chance to be part of the pre-execution, they're more likely to support it. For instance, the realtors, if we end up doing a video campaign featuring aspects of River Forest that make it a positive place to live, work, invest, run a business, they're the ones that can embed the content on their listings and push it out there without really any cost to us. So, you know, reaching out to these groups and getting their buy-in and input before we start spending money might make the campaign ultimately a better one and more successful with our outreach initiatives, be it online, direct mail, or other.
So I've heard a lot of great ideas. I just, how do we now implement this? I mean, what does that look like? I mean, because I don't want to just sit here and spitball great ideas and then come back a month later and say, what do we do? You know, where are we on this? Because some of this is, I think the long-term stuff is, you know, long-term, obviously, but some of this is somewhat time-sensitive. And I'm with Liz. If a company needs $5,000, I think it's probably good money at bad. But that sort of sucks, but I'm a banker, so I look at things in horribly binary ways like that. But so what does that look like? I mean, I'm for it. If there's something I can do, I think that's great.
Yeah. Well, I think we have, and correct me if anyone has any additions, I think there's probably four key groups that we want to reach out to. We've got restaurants, we've got retail, service businesses, and commercial and residential real estate. Can anyone think of another bucket that doesn't, you know, if we were going to have focus Zoom meetings, I think doing four of those and trying to schedule those and inviting the people on the list that, that was sent by Katie, plus any other businesses with realtors. They may not be based in River Forest, but the people who are moving and marketing our commercial storefronts and restaurants, I think we want to include them as well. Are there any other categories that you can think of, Lisa? Or did I?
Yeah, I think maybe home-based is another category.
Home-based? Yeah, it's like professional and got it. So like gyms, would that fit into retail, you think? I guess everyone would be welcome to attend any of them, but if we were gonna have, you know, five focus sessions on Zoom, you know, we might be able to put some of that together over the next month or two and just have it as a listening session, you know, get the word out. We could promote it in the email blast. And do you have an email directory for everyone on that list of businesses in River Forest, Lisa?
I can check and see the information we're gathering. We should have an email address for any business that registers or is licensed with the Village of River Forest. So I can see what I can generate and where we have maybe little gaps. It's a small enough business community that we can probably get on the phone and fill in some of those gaps about who the best person is to contact. And then we can come up with a calendar of meetings. Basically whatever is easiest for those businesses, right? Because for Yoke, it might be a very different time of day than Jackie at La Perlita. So we'll have to figure out what the sweet spot is there. So that we're supporting them and their timetables. But yeah, we can put together a meeting schedule. We can put together a quick Zoom invitation, and I can get something with our team drafted pretty quickly schedule. And I'm not even opposed to sending the entire schedule to all of the businesses, and they can sort of select which ones they think are most appropriate for them. We can certainly get that information out. We can send letters, we can stop by, we can send emails, whatever we need to do to outreach, and we'll keep track too of you know, maybe who's planning to attend, so we can do some direct outreach to maybe those businesses who haven't responded to make sure that they saw what we gave them and understand, you know, the purpose of the meeting, and they don't think it's just another piece of mail coming from the village.
Well, Lisa, I guess I'll jump in and say that's perfect time to use the chamber's marketing kind of engine as well. You know, we have a weekly newsletter, that e-newsletter that goes out to all of the businesses in Oak Park, many of them in River Forest and beyond. So again, it's that word of mouth, our social media, that kind of thing. I think registration is great. I don't know if you need help with that. Again, that's what we're built for. We can register, and then you'll have a very clear, you know, list of who's coming, who's not, that kind of thing, if you want it. You know, if you want to keep it much more casual, people just arrive, then that's fine too. But
no, Liz, I really appreciate the offer. I think that would be super helpful.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those, you know, River Forest in partnership with the chamber, and we want to hear what you have to say. I mean, it kind of makes sense.
Yeah, I think it's good too. Go ahead, Mr. Brown.
I was just going to say, if you could keep us on that as well, I'd be interested to hear what some of the businesses want to say, unless it's a conflict.
No. Would there be any issue of recording the Zoom meetings for that so that we can share it with people who weren't there?
I think we can tell people ahead of time that we're going to record it. So, you know, if they have an objection to it, we can perhaps offer some sort of opportunity for sideband conversation with them.
Okay. So we'll try to work the details on that. You know, it would be nice if we could reach out to all these groups sometime over the next 2 months. You know, that's aggressive, but you know, if we have anyone interested in kind of helping to chair the outreach for any of these individual ones, I know Liz offered to support that, but if there's an interest in one of these groups of kind of helping to make sure that representation is there to supplement whatever Lisa's gonna do in terms of a mailing, that might be helpful as well.
Yeah, and I think I could use some help too. I'm sure I'm not gonna be the only one hosting the meeting. I think it would be helpful too if we have some sort of structured conversation where we're, you know, it's not just a forum.
You can agree. Yeah. Yeah, I think clear objectives and goal, you know, you gotta lead it a little, we have to lead it a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh. Not a free form. Okay, well, this has been a great discussion. There's some other things that I'd like to discuss, but if there's anything else that people, any last comment on this topic that people want to make, please let me know now before we move forward.
Okay. You can copy me in on that. I'd be happy to see if we need help, just let me know.
Great, thank you. Other business, one thing that I thought we should discuss is the potential pending rollback on dining to 25% in Cook County. I'd like to hear, you know, what commissioners' thoughts are on that, and whether or not there's any need for us to take a position in terms of support of the businesses and communication of that support to the governor or the president of the Cook County Board relating to restricting businesses further. Does anyone have any opinion on whether or not any feelings about that? I know someone mentioned that many people are getting vaccines here. I know everyone I know in River Forest has already had their second. Well, the people that I socialize with have already had two vaccines. And I think our community probably is doing a little better than some on getting vaccinated, given access to healthcare. But what are people's thoughts about weighing in on this in any way? I mean, we obviously can't vote to change policy, but we could make an expression of support to not restrict the businesses that have been struggling. What are people's thoughts?
I don't think the restrictions are really as beneficial as the governor might think they are. With a lot of people being vaccinated and a lot of people still showing restraint, some of this restrictions just seem so frivolous and not really beneficial to the end result. I would be opposed to creating more restrictions when there's a certain temporary flare here and there of COVID. Obviously, I want people to be healthy, and I agree that I think most people in River Forest are becoming vaccinated or have been, and just restricting the business, we can kill the patient with too much caution. I think we have to move ahead. Life moves on. We've got to progress and not be stupid. Maybe wearing masks when you go out these places, but cutting back is just—it's not eliminating a problem. I think it's creating a bigger problem.
Thank you, Mr. Graham.
Great.
Any other other commissioners, your thoughts?
Agreed.
If I may, Lisa, may I screen share just briefly? I want to show the state of River Forest infections, the chart and what's happened.
Sure. Let's see.
Okay, just click share screen. And then give me a second here. Okay, so let's see. Is it share? Okay, here we go. So this is the state of daily counts of cases. And I'm going to take away the daily, so we only see the 7-day average and the 14-day average. And what you can see is as of April 8th, our average daily infections in our community of 16,000 some residents is one infection a day. And that's both for the last 7 days as well as the last 14 days. So the virus is well under control in our zip code. And it would be really unfortunate to take a new business like Yolk and have them not be able to operate at 50% capacity. So that's all for the screen share.
Did you do Oak Park?
Oak Park's in there too. Liz, what's the zip code on Oak Park? 60401?
No, 60302.
302.
That'll get you right downtown area.
Yeah, that's my. Okay, so there's Oak Park. When you take away the daily cases, you can see the 7-day average is underneath the 14-day average. So it's good when the 7-day average is below the 14-day average. So they're averaging 3 cases a day. So it would be really foolish to shut down to hurt these businesses when ultimately it's an individual choice if you want to eat out at a restaurant. But for these restaurateurs, you know, rolling back to 25% might effectively shut those businesses down. So I think it would be, I would ask that we take a vote of support if to have your support for the EDC to request or to send a letter of support for the businesses, urging them not to roll, urging Tony Preckwinkle and Governor Pritzker not to roll back businesses, restaurants in particular, to 25%. I think that this is an important measure that would also send a sign to restaurants that are struggling that River Forest is a good place to open up a business like a restaurant because the community supports the businesses.
I completely agree.
I would vigorously support that concept that rolling back the size or limitations of restaurants is not beneficial. Those statistics, you know, in the flu season, we probably have a lot more flu cases than we've seen in COVID right now. And we don't shut restaurants and businesses down or limit their activities just because we have some flu. We take that risk every year. I think there's been a lot of restraint initially, but now we have to make our communities economically viable to support the people who are residents and our businesses, period. So I recommend that we suggest to the governor not restricting the size, the percentages of restaurants and let the restaurants grow at a reasonable pace on their own.
Thank you. Is there a second to his motion?
Second.
All in favor? Any opposed?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, so I'll work on sending a letter out and I'll coordinate with Lisa before sending that.
And I would premise that with the staff. I would premise that under, you know, again, it's based on a number of things, but I think the statistics are showing that we're under control and there's no need for it. So.
Bob, are you?
I'm sorry?
Oh, sorry, Bob, it sounded like you would, you were trying
you
to
had
speak.
A comment? No.
Yeah, Lee, I think you need to work with Lisa, and I also think you need to have Greg Smith weigh in on whatever we write, so.
Yeah, we're not telling anyone what they have to do. We're just going to explain the circumstance of our numbers in our village that, you know, we want to ensure that our businesses survive and that they're able to operate, including the new business, and a rollback to 25% would be, you know, would be very harmful for a new restaurant that opened. So we'll work with legal on that to make sure that we don't create any problems. Okay, let's see. Any other business? And we didn't have anything that required executive session at this meeting. So our next meeting is slated for, what is the date on that, Lisa?
May 7th.
May 7th. And when does the board meeting occur in May?
The 10th.
Board of Trustees. How would people feel if we met May 14th instead? Is that an option? Because we have a vacancy from a resignation.
Wrong. Yeah, I'm sorry. It's May 14th, not the 7th.
Okay, May 14th. Okay, that works out perfectly then. So hopefully we'll have our open commissioner seat filled before that meeting. Okay. Any other comments, concerns before we adjourn? Thank you all. This was a great discussion. It's nice to have bright minds thinking out of the box on how we can help our community move forward.
Agreed.
Great. Yeah. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, everyone. Have a great day.
Is there a motion to adjourn?
Thank you.
So moved.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we're adjourned.